Yo, what's up, guys? What the hell happened in the NBA this past weekend? This whole league has been flipped upside down, at least the West has. And, you know, there's just a lot to digest. It was a crazy Saturday night, just laying in bed and, you know, basically doing what everyone did and doing the whole double glance, triple glance at their phone, trying to figure out if this was real or not. But yeah, let's we'll kind of jump into what these trades mean, and these in my mind on what the heck happened, what it means going forward, how it potentially impacts the Warriors. And we'll just talk a little bit more about it. So first off, welcome into Stacking Dubs. I'm your host, Chris Chin. So let's just jump into the Luka to the Lakers trade, sending back Anthony Davis. You guys already know. My initial thoughts are, I mean, this was generated from the Mavericks side. Nico Harrison, I believe is his name, the same guy who botched the Steph Curry Nike presentation and basically blew a lot of money for Nike by calling him Stephon Curry and not even changing the presentation from the one that they had set up for Kevin Durant before Curry came in. Anyways, that same guy, Nico, is the Dallas GM, and, you know, he's made a couple good moves in the last few years. You know, got PJ Washington, got Daniel Gafford, drafted Derek Lively, extended Luka Doncic a couple years ago, which is ironic. So I don't know, maybe he's just feeling like, hey, you know, we got to the finals last year. I know what I'm doing. I've been, you know, making these kind of, I guess, you know, subtle moves, and everything's kind of panned out. So maybe I am, you know, cooking with fire. Maybe I know more than the rest of the league knows. Maybe I know Luka Doncic a bit more than anyone else does, which I'm sure he does. I'm sure there are some character flaws. I mean, I see it. A lot of you see it. And it's the nonverbal kind of behavior, antics of Luka, at least on the court, just always complaining, just kind of pouting. A lot of just interesting vibes from Luka. But you overlook it because he's Luka Doncic. He's 25. He led the Mavericks to the NBA Finals last year. He is potentially, you know, one of the generational superstars that is still just entering his prime. He has some weight issues that, I mean, it didn't keep them out of the finals last year. And whatever it is, you know, as he's rehabbing from his calf injury, maybe they're just not seeing the right amount of commitment to his physical therapy, just not the right kind of leadership in the locker room. And, you know, there's a lot to assume that they didn't like about Luka. Maybe he's got in a huge argument and Harrison went on tilt and said, dude, I'm going to Billy Bean you, and you're out of here. I will not tolerate you. And I don't care who you are. This attitude, this, you know, leadership is just not what the Mavericks need. And I'm just playing, you know, I'm just hypothesizing here. And then also he probably said, hey, we need better defense because Luka won't play defense. He never has. I want to show that defense wins championships. I want to go get arguably the best defensive player in the league other than Wembanyama in Anthony Davis. And so this is the move I want to make. It's not going to be popular, but hey, I know what I'm doing. Look at the moves I've made. And wouldn't this just be a legendary move if it works out in his favor? All that being said, I give the move an F. It is a terrible move. You cannot trade Luka Doncic for anything. And I mean, you could trade him for something, but I guess the reason why it's an F and why I think most people would give it an F is, even though you get Anthony Davis back, even though you can make the argument that sure, maybe Anthony Davis fits the Mavericks a little better, especially in the short term. And maybe, I don't know, perhaps you think that Luka Doncic isn't going to resign with you. You know, that's the other kicker here is, I'm guessing he has an inkling that Luka wasn't going to resign even at the Supermax, and you might lose him in a couple years, and he's just trying to get ahead of it and basically just kind of be smarter and predict the future here. Even if you think all those things, you still sold him overnight without much conversations with any other teams that we've heard. It was just the Lakers. Not much of a negotiation. The Lakers still had another first round pick in their pockets that I'm sure they would have given up in a heartbeat. You didn't make an announcement to the rest of the league that, hey, we are listening to offers for Luka Doncic. Give us your best bids. And I would have to think that they would get something better of an offer, maybe not better of a player than Anthony Davis, but better than just one first round pick. I'm not sure the protections on it, but my point is you could have gotten a lot more if you played hardball, did a little negotiating, and didn't just throw a temper tantrum and try to cut your perennial all NBA maybe best player in the NBA, maybe the greatest of all time. Who knows? Maybe Luka Doncic decides, hey, when I'm 26 years old, 27 years old, I will mature like most mid 20-year-old kids do. I will commit to being in better shape. I will be a better leader, be more mature, take care of my body. And if I get more athletic, I already know I'm basically the best and most skilled player in the NBA. And he becomes what we all think Luka Doncic may become. But to Nico Harrison, it wasn't worth the risk and he wanted some defense. So that's my take on it, is that I think he made a very rash decision. He made an emotional decision, it sure seems. You even heard him talking about the trade after, saying, in the long term, you can't predict 3, 4, 10 years down the road, and him and Jason Kidd may not even be here in 4 years. I mean, what kind of thinking is that, right? It's like you're just basically saying, hey, we're not going to take a long-term, higher-level approach. We're just going to make a short-term decision. We're not going to think about the potential future of having a 10, 15-year all-pro, all-NBA player forever. We just want to make a move now. And that is why this is a bad move. If you play fantasy sports, I'm in a lot of keeper leagues, you got to think long picture, not just in the moment. And I would also argue in the moment, Luka Doncic is still better than Anthony Davis. Maybe not a better fit for this team because they have some offensive firepower, but still not just on a straight value. The Lakers hosed the Mavs here. Let's go to the Lakers side of this. Obviously, you get a phone call, Pelinka, and say, hey, Luka might be available. Or sorry, you say, hey, can I have it? We're looking for Anthony Davis. And you say, no way. And they say, we'll give you Luka. And you say, oh, yeah, hell yeah, we're interested. Here, we'll give you AD and a first round pick. And you lowball the Mavs, hoping that they don't ask for all your picks and more players. And then the Mavs just say, hey, we'll do it. And so Pelinka, the Lakers get by far the better end in terms of talent in this deal, especially moving forward. They have the heir apparent in LA to LeBron James, whether you think he is a franchise marketable leader in the locker room for the next decade or not. But either way, you pair him with LeBron. No, it's not a great fit on paper, and there's a lot that they need to fill in their front court and figure out some defensive moves. But you can just go get like a Robert Williams. You can go get some guys. There's some role players that would fit. Yeah, the ball can't be in both Luka and LeBron's hands the entire time, or both their hands at the same time. But we've seen it work with Kyrie, where it's kind of LeBron's turn, then it's Kyrie's turn, and you can kind of alternate. You can layer them. I believe that they can make it work. It's not a perfect fit, but when you put two very talented all NBA players together, they tend to figure it out when the talent's there. And at the very least, you find a way, maybe next year, to surround them with the pieces they need. So win for the Lakers. More moves will be coming, but it's crazy here. I'm in LA, and all I see is just Luka this, Luka that. I guess staying within this trade before we move on to the De'Aaron Fox trade, everyone wants to talk about LeBron to the Warriors, right? I mean, what does this mean for LeBron if he doesn't fit with Luka? Does he still want to be there? Are the Lakers still playing for right now, or is this a rebuilding move? Luka's still out for a couple more weeks with that injury. Does this mean the Lakers are throwing in the towel on this year? It sounds like LeBron is intent to stay put. The report from, I think, Windhorse is that LeBron's plans to stay past the deadline. So it won't be until the offseason at earliest that LeBron would leave. And if he's not willing to leave now and waive his trade clause, then I just don't see it happening. He wants to be in LA. So I won't get my hopes up. I won't get your hopes up. But if LeBron did decide to leave, it would make all the sense in the world that he would come play with Steph Curry for the Warriors. We'd have to send back Wiggins and a bunch of picks. If we had to send back Wiggins and Kuminga, it does not sound like the Warriors wanted to do that last year, or at least from Draymond Green's podcast. He does not want to give up Kuminga, even for LeBron James straight, it sounded like. Honestly, I don't even know. I mean, I'd rather have LeBron in the short term, but Wiggins and Kuminga is pretty steep. I don't know if we have enough wing depth to really even still compete, even with Steph, LeBron, and Draymond Green. It would be interesting. So I guess I would have to say it's not a no-brainer. I would do the trade just to get LeBron, but it's not as a no-brainer as you would think, trading both Wiggins and Kuminga and whatever else it would take to get LeBron himself. So that being said, Warriors are making a bunch of calls on what Shams said, every single all-star in the league. And I guess that's what this big trade and the Fox trade with LaVine kind of leads me to is that player movement, it has started, and sometimes these things start to snowball and gain some momentum, and you start to see more players become available, more people become open to changing locations. Hey, if Luka and Anthony Davis can swap, then hey, anybody can swap. So at least kind of puts activity onto the plate, and that bodes well for the Warriors. What doesn't bode well for the Warriors is that Zach LaVine is no longer on the table. He was the guy that I think the Warriors were looking at and I thought would be the best fit, more so than Jimmy Butler, even, who said he doesn't want to extend his contract or re-sign with the Warriors after. So that trade has been basically killed. I don't think the Warriors wanted that anyways, because it would have cost them Wiggins and much more. I didn't want that trade. I don't think it helps them become competitive. Or sorry, become contenders by losing Wiggins and just adding Jimmy. Too much risk. So, anyways, that's okay. But my point is, LaVine is now off the table. I thought that the Fox and LaVine trade was interesting. I think the only true winners here that we know in the short term and the long term get better from both of these trades is the Spurs getting De'Aaron Fox. I think they gave up some picks, and that's a I forget what else they gave. I think they gave up one of their bigs. But no one's significant. But now you pair Fox with Wembanyama, and hey, you've just figured out your point guard piece. You still have Stephon Castle there. That becomes a very, very nasty team. They could sneak into the playoffs this year. And going forward, I think Fox is what, 28, 29. But yeah, you have two potential all-stars and basically maybe the best player in the NBA as of a couple years from now in Wemby. So big move for them. The Kings, I don't love the move for them. I mean, if you're going to trade Fox, which, so my boss is a huge Kings fan, and I guess Fox needed to move. They've been better without Fox on the floor. He's good, but just the way that it fits defensively, spacing wise. I mean, Fox, they've been fine with Monk at the helm, running through Sabonis rather than running through Fox. So I think that Fox is expendable if you bring in the right players and picks. LaVine fits. Gets them some spacing, gives you another handler. But if you're going to trade Fox, I would want at least two lottery picks back in addition to LaVine there. They're really just getting a like three first, but two are the Spurs picks, which are going to be bad picks whenever they convey in the next few years. And then the Hornets heavily protected first round pick next year. And so it won't be a lottery pick. So really, you're getting just a bunch of either late first or even potentially moving into second round with those. So I thought the Kings could have done a bit better. I also think the Bulls could have done better. I mean, they should have taken, I don't know if the Warriors were offering, but a Warriors first round pick and a bunch of expiring contracts. And some guys like Schroeder and Moody and those type of guys you could have retraded to get some more second round picks. They, as it is, only didn't even end up with a first round pick in return. So I thought the Bulls could have done much better for LaVine. But where does that all leave us? That leaves the Warriors kind of everywhere, kind of in no man's land. Like I said, they basically made calls on any and every all-star, including Kevin Durant with the Suns, who it sounds like are intent to keep Durant, but they're at least fielding calls, whatever that means. They called on Paul George. It sounds like they called on Ingram and Zion Williamson, which I don't know if that really works very well for the Warriors. They're calling about everybody because they need to make a move. Or they don't. We talked about a couple weeks ago, they could just kind of stand pat, maybe make a move still for Vucevic, maybe just make even smaller moves and wait till the offseason and pray that some more player movement comes about. And basically, you're kicking the can down the road because you don't like any of the offers here that are available. No superstars that would fix your team or are a home run or even a ground rule double of a trade help you. And that's been what the Warriors have basically been doing. They're paralyzed by not wanting to make a bad deal, which I can understand. Kick the can down the road, wait for something like the Mavericks saying, hey, we want to get rid of Luka. What will you do? Hey, we'll take Kuminga and a couple firsts. And that would have been a great trade. Problem is, you can't rely on that. And as we've continued kicking the can down the road for the last couple of off seasons and trade deadlines, the road's running out. Steph Curry turns 37 in about, what, 41 days, 42 days, Pi Day, March 14th. On my calendar. But you have maybe another year or two. Steph's starting to decline just a little bit. Maybe it's because he doesn't have the other superstar. Maybe it's because he is because Father Time is undefeated, but you have a small window that's closing quick. You need to make a huge move. You don't want to make a bad or too risky of a move and sacrifice all your youth, your picks, your real upside player in Kuminga or even Pajemski. But you got to do something eventually. The only thing you can't do is just let this run its course and not make a move. So what I'll say is this: with the trade deadline approaching, you make any and every call like they're doing. If something presents itself as, hey, even if it's just to shake up the roster, get someone that is bring in someone that's better than Wiggins. It's actually upgrade Wiggins. If you can somehow keep Wiggins, all the better. But find a way to upgrade your second best scorer, ideally with an all-star. Then you can think about it because it just shakes things up and gives you some sort of a different look than what's been a 500 team. Chances are that's not going to happen. You can make a mild move, but it sounds like you're just going to have to wait until the off season and hope that KD wants out, that Giannis wants out, that Embiid wants out, somebody wants out. You have a little bit more moves you can make in the off season, and then the absolute just deadline and just, it's either crap or get off the pot time is by next year's trade deadline. You can still, in theory, wait past this trade deadline, work on trades in the off season. Nothing comes to fruition. You see, ride out the first half of the season, and then you're right back to where you are a year later from now. And that is basically whatever you want to call it, the end point, Armageddon. Something has to be done. You have to cash in your chips then, or you're, in poker terms, going to get blinded to death, and you have to go all in with just whatever hand you're dealt at that point, no matter what it is. So that's the patient approach. I don't think we can even be that patient, but again, you can get an all-star. If you can get an all-star now, I think you pull the trigger. And if you can somehow not give up Kuminga and or Wiggins, then it's a no-brainer. Anyways, yeah, that's my point, guys. It's good that there's some player movement, but it's bad because nobody seems to want to come to the Warriors. But hey, anything can change overnight when you're about to go to sleep. And there's a general manager on tilt who I'd have to assume just left having a huge fight or conversation with Luka and just had a few drinks and said, screw it, I'm getting rid of this loser on my team, and gifted the Lakers their next generational player, and they can be the Showtime Lakers again for the next decade or two. It'll happen for us guys. We're getting Kevin Durant and Giannis and LeBron. Anyways, all right, guys. Enjoy the trade deadline. Next time we talk, we'll see. We have a game tonight against the Magic. Should be a good one. Could really use a win to start get to winning these 500 games. Got to find a way to give Steph a little bit of rest and not have to win every game down the stretch to just to get into the play-in. That's the ultimate goal here. So I got to win these games, especially at home. All right, I have a feeling we'll be talking soon enough as the trade deadline comes and passes, and hopefully you'll see me with a smile next time. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, like, subscribe, and I am Christian. And until next time, peace, love, stacking dubs.